For those of you who may be new to Brandywine, you should know that the New Testament of the Bible is divided into three sections. The first section tells the story of Jesus in the early church. The next section, 13 writings, are the letters of Paul. And the last nine writings, the last nine books, are writings of other apostles. I'd like to invite you to turn to one of Paul's letters. 1 Thessalonians, Paul's long letters, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians come first, and then the shorter letters come, and 1 Thessalonians is about in the middle. And by the way, just if, again, if you're not familiar with Brandywine, if you don't know how to find something in the Bible, you should never feel awkward about turning to the table of contents in the beginning. It'll give you a page number, and it makes it a lot easier to find. And half of us here on any given Sunday are just now learning our way around the Bible. So you're not out of place. You never have to feel embarrassed. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to begin reading at verse 6 and read through verse 13. I hope you'll leave your Bible open after we have read, because we're going to come back and look at two of these verses that are particularly pertinent to our experience here at Brandywine Valley. For this reading, I'd like to ask if all of you would stand for this reading, please. Here's what it says. We were not looking for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Surely you remember, brothers, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God, who calls you into his kingdom and glory. And we also thank God continually, because when you receive the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. May our Lord bless this reading of his word to our understanding and our obedience. Thank you all. I just want you to know, I love the church because Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant bride without stain or wrinkle or blemish, but holy and blameless. I also love the church because Christ loved the church the way she is. Not so radiant, stained, wrinkled, and blemished. Her best days are yet to come. I love this church, Brandywine Valley Baptist Church, because love is always local, or it isn't real. I know where most of the skeletons in our closets are. I know many of the dark temptations that beset many of us in this congregation. I also know the love and energy and affection for one another that lace this congregation like a cell phone network. I know our hypocrisies and our holiness, and I love this church. I know many of you love the church as I do. I know many of you love this church as I do. This is our spiritual home. We rejoice that everything we do here is organized around Jesus Christ. We rejoice in this church's devotion to the teaching of the apostles and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We rejoice that our system of belief seeks to tell the truth about Christ and the world and ourselves. We even rejoice that hypocrisy in the earliest Christian congregation reminds us that our own efforts to be holy can easily become holier than thou. But this is our home. This is the place we love. We have to realize that having a spiritual home matters enormously for this reason. In the Bible, your heart means what you love, everything you love, and the kind of person you are becoming because of what you love. To guard your heart means to protect yourself against loving anything that will turn you into the wrong kind of person. We can go deeper. To guard your heart means to protect yourself from loving anything that would alienate yourself from God. Something has so distorted our power to love that we can and do at times love what turns us into the wrong kind of people and what alienates us from God. How do we guard our hearts against distorted love and its terrible consequences? Well, last Sunday and today, we are considering one answer to that question. One out of many, but one answer. You guard your heart when you make the church your spiritual home. The church is a place that is safe, is powerful. And so my question to you is, what would help you to make Brandywine Valley Baptist Church your spiritual home? Last Sunday, we began to talk about an answer to that question by identifying two healthy churches where people found their spiritual home. But what we said last week left something out. And today I would like to complete our picture by having another look at the church in the Greek city of Thessalonica. And that's where your Bible is open. And I'd like for us to start here in chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. You know, devotion to the teaching of the apostles and to the fellowship, devotion to the breaking of bread and to prayer are brilliant. But they need something tender and personal to keep them warm. And you find it right here in verses 7 and 8. Look at verse 7. Paul said there in verse 7, "We were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children." That's tender. It doesn't get any more personal than verse 8. Paul writes there, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us." You know, it's easy to experience the church as nothing more than budgets, buildings, body counts, and badgering the congregation about one thing or the other. No wonder people don't want to come. And if they come, it's no wonder they want to leave without talking. I think we pastors bear a lot of responsibility for this perception of the church. But I also have to tell you, it's really hard for me to express a compelling vision of the church in sermons if you have not experienced the tenderness and self-giving that are part of this congregation. This congregation is a worthy spiritual home. Tenderness and self-giving mark the lives of people here as a way of life and have done so for many years. So my responsibility this morning is somehow to communicate to you so that maybe you start to feel it, what this way of life is like. I would like to do that with one story from my own pastoral experience, and then with a sampling of how powerful the tenderness and self-giving in this church can be. I can say with some integrity that I have sought to be gentle with you, loving you the way a mother loves her children. A number of years ago, there was a young couple who came to Brandywine Valley, and after a few weeks, they wanted to know if I would perform their marriage ceremony. And I said yes, and they went through our routine of preparation for marriage counseling and all of that. The wedding was off-site, and afterwards they came erratically and finally never came at all. And in time, I forgot about them. Several years later, I got word somehow that she was expecting their first baby. I was really happy for them, but I didn't see them, and I forgot about them again, until I got a phone call at 2:30 a.m. one spring morning to tell me that she had gone into premature labor and had given birth to a little baby girl, 20 weeks old from conception. They measured this child's weight in ounces, and the doctor said she was not going to survive the night, and there was nothing they could do for her, and would I come to the hospital? I would, and I did. And when I got there, I came across, of course, the mom and dad, and their parents were there, and their aunts and uncles and friends were there. I never did sort all of them out. And there was this little tiny baby lying in the hospital bassinet. So when I went in, my first job was to say to the husband and wife, "Would you please tell me what the doctor said?" So they told me, with plenty of help from the rest of the family and friends. And the doctor had said that her lungs were not developed, they couldn't develop, she could not live, there was nothing we could do. And then as we waited for the inevitable, I experienced something with them that I have often experienced with people in times of grief. There's a point at which people, even in the most somber moments, start to talk about anything and everything. They started to laugh and to tell jokes, and you would have thought they were at a picnic. And in the very next breath, They were weeping and consoling each other. And before you knew it, they were back telling jokes and laughing, and then they were back to weeping and consoling. It was this emotional roller coaster the whole time. And right in the middle of all this, the most tender thing happened. This little girl is lying in this bassinet, and she has on this little postage stamp of a diaper with her little gown over her body. Her skin is really red, and a soft cloth cap on her head. And her dad picked her up and began to pass her around to all of us in that hospital room to hold and to speak to and to talk about. We held her more than once. It was just one of those moments you can't predict how it's going to turn out. And one of the times when I had her, I prayed for her. And I prayed for her mom and dad and for all of these people gathered. And I claimed this little child for Jesus Christ and his church as one of his. I finally left the hospital, and not long after I left, I understood the little girl died. And I never saw that family again. Over the years, I have watched hundreds of people in this congregation show people the same kind of tenderness in their moments of personal distress. It has been amazing to watch. And it seems to me that what we need today is a sampling of that tenderness and self-giving from this congregation. Our congregation now faces a big milestone. In just a few weeks, I will step down as the senior pastor of this congregation. And as a result of that, a lot of things will change. It is one of the biggest transitions any larger church like Brandywine can experience. And it seems to me that today would be a good day for you to talk to each other. And here's what I would like to do. I would like to ask you, first of all, you need to know this is not rehearsed. I don't have any plants in the congregation. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit is so much at work in this body of Christians that there'll be people prepared to do what I'm going to ask you to do, and this is what I'm asking you to do. If you feel it in your heart, I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet and say to the rest of us that you think Brandywine Valley is going to be blessed in its future. Now, I know you need to think a little bit about that. So while you're thinking, let me set the stage a little bit more for you. I've been at this church 34 years. We have a lot of history with each other. I've done your weddings. I've buried your loved ones. I've dedicated your babies. I have led you to Christ. I have discipled you. I have baptized you. I have prayed with you. I have eaten with you. I have argued with you. I have traveled with you. I have prayed with you. And I preached to you. That's a lot of relationships. And in a few weeks, all of that from my side has to come to an end. But I believe that many of you believe that God is going to bless this church in its future. And if you believe that, and if you could say it from your heart, I wish you would just stand up and we'll bring a microphone to you. And when you get the microphone, what I wish you would do is just put it right on your chin like this so that we don't miss any word that you say. And we have a couple of people downstairs. We have Brandon Robinson and Jason Perry. And up in the balcony, we have Victoria. Where are you, Victoria Acosta? Up there. And Tim Lynn. Tim, are you up there someplace? Tim's over here. So anyway, this is the green one. This is the blue one. I have no idea what their colors are in the balcony. And I'll point if somebody in the balcony is on. The next 7 to 10 minutes are dedicated to you. So if you have something to say, stand up and one of these people will bring you a microphone right up in the balcony there. Keep talking, Lou, till they get in.
Generally speaking, I don't like change. I think a lot of us don't welcome change. It's hard. No one's going to miss Pastor Bo more than me. He's far more than a pastor. He's a trusted friend and a mentor in life. But change is where we are. And Christ, to me, demanded change. I mean, he was not a standstill kind of guy. But in exchange for change, he gave us promises of something better, promises of new possibilities. And that's where we are. And to me, I can't play every instrument known to man like Sam, and I can't sing like Micah. I can't do many things like most of the people in here. But I think Christ has provided us with everything that we will need to create new possibilities. And this is a challenge, but an opportunity, and I have every faith that the people in this building will make the new possibility an even better one.
Thank you. Who's next? We don't have a lot of time. This is not a time to be shy. Would you stand up and we can find out where you are? Go fast, Brandon. Down here first, if you don't mind. Say your name, if you would.
Kim White. Oh, goodness. I've been bouncing back and forth from churches. Okay, I'm supposed to talk really fast, not when you're crying. Okay. But I've came to find this church, my church home, and I really respect Pastor Bo. I mean, sometimes his voice is so gentle, I fall asleep. I don't like really fast, loud talkers. I hope the next pastor is even softer than him to put me to sleep. But I'm just going to miss you, Pastor Bo, and I know a lot of people are going to, and you're respecting this congregation, but change is inevitable. Even in my life, I had to change a lot of things. So I'm thankful to you and this church body. Thanks.
Hello? For all the years that my family's been here, it's been a wonderful time it's been a great time since you've been here, Pastor Bo, and we'll miss you when you choose to retire or when you pass on to heaven. We hope that's you. I hope you like your time here, and everything that you've done for us is just amazing.
Do you think something good is coming in the future?
Definitely.
Yeah, you. You're not talking.
Good morning. My name is Tim Kira. I know that the future is good for us because of some things that have happened in the past. And just briefly, three times as a reservist, I was called to deploy, and I left my family behind. And when you're a reservist, you don't have a base near you where other families can support you. But I wasn't worried because of all of you. And people took it upon themselves, when you talk about the screenshot there, sharing your life. People st- stepped up to the plate, and a list was developed on a couple of occasions of things that needed to be done around the house while I couldn't be around to do those things. And other men stepped into our family's life and took my son to events, you know, things to do to keep him engaged. And, you know, that tells me that if you all will step into our lives, this trend, the relationships we share here will always be available in the future. And it's nice to know that this is a family. This is a large room, but we're a family. And I appreciate you, and we certainly appreciate what you've done for us, Pastor Bill.
Yeah, thank you.
I just like to say thank you, Pastor Bo, for all that you've done for this church and for me and for everyone who's known you. And I believe that this church will be blessed, and the gospel must be spread. Thank you.
Thank you. Wayne?
I just wanted to leave you with a word of encouragement. It really comes from Paul, Philippians 1:6. Paul said, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in us, in me, in you, Pastor Bo, in this church, will continue it until completion, until the day of Jesus Christ. And that word, I am confident in this, that's what I feel. I sense that from Paul when he said, I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work will continue it. I encourage you to be confident. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to say that the church here really represents God in the community and reaches out to the people in the community. And I'm one of the people that many of you have reached out to. It goes far beyond Pastor Bo and we really are the hands and feet of Christ to the people around us. And I know this church has been that for me. And there's no doubt in my mind that that will continue and that God will continue to bless.
Thank you, Dale.
Can you hear me? I believe that good things will come to this church in the future. They have in the past, they are now, and they will in the future. Because Christ is faithful.
Christ is faithful, he is. Thank you.
Bo, on a personal level, you know, we've been here since Darlene and I, and our daughters since 1976 when we broke ground for this church. And I deeply appreciate your ministry over the years and what it's meant to me in terms of my own spiritual growth. In many ways, it's been transformative, and the opportunity to serve on staff here for 14 years with you and the other folks on staff, it's been a great experience. But you and I, to get back to your original question, you and I are both familiar with a gentleman by the name of Lyle Schaller, who writes about congregational life. And one of the things he said that stuck with me is that small churches, 100 people or less, will always stick together, even though they fight like cats and dogs over what color to paint the kitchen, because they are like a social club in many cases. And large churches tend to be much more vulnerable because people don't feel as attached, and they can easily walk away from the church. But I think Brandywine is really different, and I think it's different because of your style of ministry and what you've invested in ministry over the 34 years. I think we have a really solid and committed congregation that is going to stick together through this transition, and God will bless this church as a result.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you all very much for what you said. Thank you.
No, you're good. You're good.
You sure? I am. Okay. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Brandon. A spiritual home is a place where you get encouragement like this and strength to honor Christ in a culture that publicly ignores Christ. A spiritual home is a place where you form the best friendships in your life. A spiritual home is a place where you find encouragement at the big milestones that we all have in life. If you haven't ever done it, would you consider making Brandywine Valley Baptist Church your spiritual home? It can guard your heart, you can make it strong for the future, and you can help this congregation be a blessing to the people of the Brandywine Valley. If you're interested in doing it in a tangible way, on that connection card on the back little window where it says, I'm interested, or I would like more information about, just tick off being baptized or being a member of Brandywine Valley. We understand you may not be ready to be baptized or even to be a member. It's just a way you can say to us that you want to make this your spiritual home. So why don't we pray together and ask God to guide us today and in our future. Lord God, we are grateful. We're grateful for the big things, for the way churches embrace the Orthodox faith. We thank you, Lord, for the way we worship you in communion and pray together, for the way we share meals and social events and just life. And Lord, we thank you for the tenderness that is right below the surface, most of the time invisible to most of us, but powerful in the hearts and lives of those people it touches. And we give you thanks for this, our spiritual home, and for Jesus Christ, the Lord of this spiritual home. In his name we pray. Amen.